Many of you have probably had to take a personality test or a temperament test before, taking lots of questions one by one. Yes or no, are you this way or are you that way? And one of the common outcomes of those assessments or tests is the determination of whether you're an extrovert or an introvert. I've been accused of being a pretty high extrovert. I don't know if you would agree with that, but I usually find life in being with other people. And the definition I've heard between the two of these things is, where is the location where you find the most refreshment and rest? Where's the place that you go to be recharged? Is it to be alone, to be with yourself? Or is it to be with a group? Where am I recharged? Where am I refreshed? Now, of course, none of us is a complete 100% extrovert or complete 100% introvert. Each of us has a mixture of both. But generally speaking, we would each fall into one of those two categories. We have a preference of where we'd like to be refreshed and recharged. I thought of this as we were reading the gospel today, this gospel that picks up right where the gospel left off last week. Jesus, last week in the gospel, sends out the apostles. He sends them out to teach and preach and heal in his name, and I'm sure it was exhausting. And then they come back and they report to Jesus what they had done. And he gives them this great invitation to come away with him and rest for a little while. And I'm sure the introverted apostles were like, finally, thank you. We can just be to ourselves. We can be recharged and refreshed with the master. So he brings them into this boat and they sail off. It doesn't say how long they were in the boat together. Maybe it was just a few minutes, maybe it was a 3-hour tour, we don't know. But they get to the other side of the Sea of Galilee where they're headquartered. They get to the other shore, and as we heard in the gospel, the crowds followed them. So when they get to the shore, I'm sure those introverts were like, really, Lord? I thought we were gonna be refreshed. I thought you had invited us to come away with you, to be by ourselves. But this isn't Jesus's reaction. Jesus isn't cursing the crowds. He looks at them with great pity, it says. He looks at them with great love because they were like sheep without a shepherd. You see, despite the apostles' preferences, the Lord looked at each person, he looked at each group, and he was actually there for each. He was there for the introverts, he was there for the extroverts, he was there for different classes and groups. Jesus was to be there as a shepherd for anyone who would receive him. And I think that's a really helpful point for us. No matter what our preferences or what our defaults are, the Lord wants to come to us and refresh us in those places. But I think some of us can treat our journey of faith, our spirituality, our life with Christ, as if it were kind of a roller coaster of hills and valleys, that there are times of refreshment and peace, and then there are times of desolation and being poured out. We can see kind of our spiritual life in this way, but I don't think it's a really helpful way. Because if we look at it that way, then Jesus and refreshment are only available in those times of my preference. In the times when maybe I want to go and pray, the times I want to go to Mass, the times I want to go and do things my way. We can treat our faith life like that. Okay, I'll go to Mass, and then I'll go to be filled up, I'll go to be refreshed, and then I'll leave, and I'll go as long as I can until I need to be refreshed again, until I need to be filled up again. And then I'll go back, or I'll pray, I'll hit my knees and spend some time with the Lord and feel really good. And then after that, I'll go until I'm wiped again, and then I'll come back to Him. That's a really erroneous way to treat our faith. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. The Mass, times of prayer, times of spiritual nourishment, all of those are important. They have to be a regular part of our lives. But we can't just use them to be filled up, to be recharged, and then to go from those places as if we were walking away from the Lord. The Lord has to be in both our peaks and in our valleys. The shepherd has to be found in both of those places. And that's what's highlighted so poignantly, so beautifully in this Psalm 23, the one we know by heart, the one we hear at every funeral. The Lord is my shepherd. There's nothing I shall want. The shepherd leads me by verdant pastures to restful waters. He leads me in those times of consolation, those times when I can be refreshed. But in the same breath, the shepherd is with me in the dark valley. The shepherd does not depart from me when my preference isn't being filled, when the times get tough, when the going gets hard. The shepherd is in both of those places. And if we're to live a really healthy spirituality, a healthy life with Christ, it's the recognition that Jesus, the shepherd, is with us always. And if we practice the presence of God, not just in our times of prayer, but also in our times of darkness and weakness, then my life will begin to change. It's the recognition that the Lord as shepherd is with me always. There are times I might walk away from Him, but He is always walking toward me and with me. In peaks and valleys, the shepherd never leaves. That's a revolution if we're able to grasp that in our spiritual lives. That it's not just in the times of prayer and activity, but also in the times of darkness, weakness, and everything in between. The disciples, the apostles, were with Jesus today in a boat, and He hadn't departed from them. He was with them even there in the boat. And so I want to give you an analogy of what this might look like. You see, sometimes I think people go about life, go about their spiritual life, like they're a motorboat. Now, they have to be filled with fuel, and then they can go as long as they've got fuel. But that fuel's going to run out. You can't cross the Atlantic Ocean in a motorboat. You can't circle the globe because you're going to run out of fuel. So don't be a motorboat. I think other people see themselves as maybe a rowboat or a kayak. Okay, I can do this myself. I've got some big muscles, and as long as I'm filled with water and food, I can just keep going. But you're going to run out too. You got to sleep. You got to be refreshed. You have to have the fuel come inside of you if you're going to power yourself. You're not strong enough. Don't be a rowboat. But then there's a third way. When I'm out here on White Bear Lake on my kayak sometimes, I love to see the sailboats. Those sailboats, they're so graceful. A sailboat doesn't find its fuel, doesn't find its power by anything that can be replenished by the boater. It has to find its power and its strength and its source of life outside of itself, from the wind. And as long as that wind is blowing, it's got to keep sailing. It could travel the world. It might slow down at times. The wind's not always going to be as strong. But the wind's always going to be there, and it's always going to come back. So we should be like a sailboat. As we're traveling with the Lord, the shepherd, as we're trying to be with him in those peaks and valleys, let's let the Spirit of God be with us, recognizing he never leaves us. Even though we have differing preferences, he's with us always. So let us turn to the Father right now who loves us and ask him to be that strength.